Join me in a prayer for understanding. Eternal God, quiet within us all mortal voices, that through the story of the Passion and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. The reading is from the book of Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let's go ahead and breathe together. I invite you just to take some deep breaths in this room, in this time. Set aside what came before. Set aside what's coming tomorrow. And just breathe. God, use our breath to root us here together. May we be present as we breathe in your love. And as we breathe it back out to the world. God, fill us with truth and goodness. Fill us with trust and love. Amen. So Holy Week is arguably our weirdest week as Christians. We don't just follow the teachings of Jesus. We do some pretty sustained play acting. Today we're going to parade. We will have a real parade, walking in lines or clumps or however that works out together. On Thursday, we will dine together. We will remember the Last Supper. And on Friday, we will bear witness to an execution. We'll withdraw from that service in darkness and in bewildered sorrow. And then on Sunday, we will explode with joy as we awake to an empty tomb. So one challenge during Holy Week is not just to be moving our bodies or acting things out, but it's to get beneath the surface of these movements. To translate what has been rendered strange by time and by culture into something that shapes us here and now, something that can shape our minds and bodies, our hearts and our spirits. Today in particular, that challenge is to turn a parade of palms into something that moves us to an authentic place where we would shout out loud to God, God, we trust that you will save us. God, we are praying to you. Something that leads us to a flash of hope in the face of overwhelming odds. To an outpouring of authentic joy, not manufactured or pretend, but real. To the holiness of the silly and the serious squeezed into one moment together. And for all of it to be real, not pretended or performed, but real to us. A secondary part of that challenge, and I think the harder part, is to try to let today be Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday as it was on that first Palm Sunday, which was lived in real, linear, forward time, where no one knew what was going to come next. On that day, of course, many suspected what was coming. Jesus especially was reading the signs of increasing tension and impending state crackdown. But the day happened to people in time, disciples who had not yet had their hearts broken at a final meal, betrayers who had not yet acted on impulses to protect their own skins, and people who had not yet gone into hiding or into mourning. It happened to people who thought this could be it. The day of our liberation from oppression is at hand. And they were wrong. Rome did not fall. But they were also right, for God revealed resurrection. But they didn't know any of that yet. And of course, we know what comes next. We know the trajectory of this story. So we parade carrying both the horror of Good Fridays and the shocking joy of Easters. Of course we do. And we are going to step all over our own toes a little bit because we are going to bum you out at the end of the service with a passion reading because not everyone can make it to Maundy Thursday or Good Friday. But we're going to try our darndest, and I'll remind you at the charge and benediction, we're going to try to let today be Palm Sunday. To let this day be its own day. To imagine ourselves into that subversive religious street theater that unfolded around Jesus. By magic or design or cleverness or holiness or accident or desperation, however and why ever that unfolded, it's very open to interpretation. So this year, my imagination has gotten stuck on one sticky part of the story. The colt, this young horse who has never been ridden before. I don't know if you get his picture. Oh, look at him, he's so cute. That's not really the colt. I just picked a picture of a colt. And so a creature is there every year, whether it's a colt or a donkey or a colt and a donkey in one of the Gospels, but same idea. There is this animal who carries Jesus into Jerusalem. So I'm going to invite you to join me in sacred imagination around that creature, that critter, that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. So first and foremost, it's not hard to be curious about how Jesus procured this critter. His disciples are given clear and simple instructions. Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they follow these instructions. The conversation unfolds word for word as Jesus predicted it would. And boom, free colt. Yay. Let's try it. Don't try it. You don't have permission. So what's going on here? Is it a Jesus-mediated Jedi mind trick? These are not the droids you are looking for. Was it planned and rehearsed by the cult owners? Was it a smooth-talking, pickpocket kind of tactic? Or was it something else? So spurred by a comment from Joan Barry, who many of us know, at Bible study, we were putting this in the context at that study time of oppression and liberation, of empire and God's oppression or opposition to empire. So I'm curious if Jesus wasn't being a little devious, understanding the state of political play and the state of day-to-day play. And I wonder if Jesus wasn't even a little jaded himself about the way things were. The disciples were taking a colt from people who were used to things being taken from them. Taken from them by powerful people. The reason that tax collectors were such scandalous dinner companions when Jesus sat down with them is that they worked for Rome. They betrayed their own people. People who lived by them, worked with them, looked like them, were related to them. They would shake them down for Rome's benefit with threats and extortion. So Rome could take your stuff, whether it was a soldier who demanded your stuff or the betrayal of a member of your people. It was hard to know who you could say no to without fear of serious repercussions. So when you go to a fearful person who knows that they might face violence if they resist commands of someone in power, a lord maybe, who needs your colt, you let it go. Even if it will impact your livelihood, you let it go. Because you want to live, things can be taken from you. We've been learning in recent history that things can be taken from us. The first Supreme Court ruling in our lifetimes that took away a right, the Dobbs decision came down in 2022, taking away a right to bodily autonomy for pregnant people. Since January of this year, we have had many things taken from us. We have had jobs taken from us. Health and safety protections taken from us. The assurance that our food is safe taken from us. Forward momentum in scientific research has been taken from us. Privacy has been taken from us as the IRS shares confidential information with ICE. Free speech has been taken from us as college students are detained in immigration prisons for expressing opinions. Some things taken have been restored, maybe a few, but not many. We're being conditioned to understand and expect that things can be taken from us. I don't have a rousing resistance speech to offer. That's not what I'm doing today. But I want to notice together the change in this story for all of us. We can relate to the taking of the colt in a new way. I want to make sure we feel that together and mark that change together. And so this is the context that the parade of Palm Sunday breaks out in, a context not so different from our own. People who were made afraid shout. People who were made silent sing. People who have been made small proclaim cosmic dreams of God's universal restoration. They shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens." Blessings and peace and glory are the story they tell of their God. In fear and in failure, it is the story they tell. In hope amidst loss, it is the story they tell. And it is a story that belongs to us too. In the middle of our own losses, our fears for the future, our hope in God will not be taken from us. In a sermon for the Word is Resistance podcast on Palm Sunday 2019, Nicola Torbett, a faith leader and self-proclaimed rabble-rouser, suggested that we might call our Palm Sunday procession a liturgical direct action. That's a term coined by Bill Wiley Kellerman, a retired Methodist pastor and a nonviolent community activist. A liturgical direct action describes actions that blur the lines between protest and public worship. Torbett gives examples of liturgical direct action held in the past on Palm Sundays. In 2016 in Chicago, the Community Renewal Society organized Palm Sunday marches on all 25 police precincts to protest the killing of Laquan McDonald and to call for stricter police oversight in the city. Torbett's own organization, Seminary of the Street, organized a Palm Sunday processional in 2012 in Oakland, calling on city officials to choose which parade they were part of. Rome's parade of the elite, made up of Wall Street bankers and high-powered business interests, or Jesus's parade of people calling for relief. Save us, we pray, from economic exploitation. And so, in our own way, after worship today, we'll be holding our own Ark and Dove Palm Sunday liturgical direct action. We will take worship from here to there, and it will continue to be in worship of our good and loving God. Everyone is invited, but no one is compelled to attend. But maybe if you're someone who is noticing that you are getting used to, little by little, things being taken from you, maybe your spirit needs to take up some space today to wave a palm frond or hold a sign of love and to proclaim that you are so loved by God. Or maybe you are afraid. And whether you join in the parade or you just drive by the action, maybe once or twice or 17 times, honking your horn to say amen, maybe just seeing an assembled crowd could make you less afraid and less alone, and it could patch up a piece of your broken heart. And just being together might help us all to remember that God works very much more often through people gathered in hope than through lightning bolts or other zaps of power. It's a slower way to work, but it's probably for the best. And those of you who are worshiping online today, you're invited to be creative in how you join. You could sing Hosanna at home. You could make a post on social media. You could just tell a friend who's afraid about the state of the world that your church is out there on the street, in the middle of the silliness and the seriousness, singing, "Save us, we pray," to a God who listens. So come on down as worship takes to its feet, but not yet. We got to do the passion story first. But throughout all of that, please hold on to Palm Sunday hope. And so the point of all of this, of Palm Sunday and Holy Week, of liturgical direct action, it's not just to do a thing once a year. It's a check-in, sure, because the pace and patterns of life under capitalism are draining and isolating. And we sometimes need a dramatic week of acting out to get ourselves free enough to see that God is present around us and has been the whole time. But the real point is for Holy Week to become a pattern that we live out in our lives day by day, to join in collective effervescence in the face of fear and persecution, to know that the road ahead will be hard, that the powers and principalities of death will do harm, and also to never forget that our God is a resurrecting God who will never be taken from us. I hope to see you at the parade.